This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Was Motorcycle by
June Jones.
June Jones, who is an up and coming trans artist.
Yes.
That's what was an incredible song. Thank you so much for bringing that in today.
It's amazing, tonight. Isn't it? I saw June Jones at the Theatre Royal in Castlemaine a few years ago. She was opening for the Sarah Blasco, Sally, I can't remember the names, but the trio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was amazing. And I found her work very moving. And I came across that song quite recently and thought it was – and it's quite – there's quite an element of spoken word to it as well.
Yeah, there's a sort of – yeah, there is an element of satire and stirring the pot a little bit in that song. So yeah, it's quite fun.
The commentary around what a person says when you basically wake up finding them sexually assaulting you.
Yes, basically. It's quite – a lot of those – it's amazing how some of the darkest songs actually have that sound so happy.
Yeah,
when you actually listen to it, it's like, wow.
I suppose it goes back to what we were talking about before, about how music is kind of this way of like sneaking in more serious messages and commentary about society. It's
definitely.
Oh, I like the tune. And then, hang on, what's this about?
Well, that was always like the funniest thing. About, like, if you listen to the early Beatles track, you're being an English girl.
I was named after Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Really?
And my brother is called Pete Best. Peter is a family name, and obviously Best is my last name, but also first drummer of the Beatles. Mm. So I was raised on the Beatles. Yeah. I knew all the words to all the Beatles songs as a tiny child.
I didn't realise how dirty Please Please Me was until quite recently.
Well, I think I used to go around singing, "Why don't we do it in the road?"
Because apparently it's about Please Please Me is about pleasing someone and they haven't returned the favour, so to speak.
Well, please me like I please you.
Yeah, and it's like, but then you have songs now where they wouldn't have, they would have actually said openly.
Cardi B, we just wouldn't.
Yeah.
I was going to say beat around the bush.
Yeah, you could say that. But I actually think sometimes subtlety in art is actually a little bit better.
Yeah, to make people have to think about it and then go ping.
Like, I've never been a big fan of having a swear word like the F word as a title of a book or as a poem, or especially the C word as a poem. You can use it in the poem but not actually as the title. I just think it's too hard to sell. It's too hard to put on a bookshelf. It's controversy for the sake of controversy, I think.
Yeah, and if you ostracize people, then you don't gain an audience.
Yeah, and then I think sometimes you're tilting at windmills. You're fighting battles you shouldn't be fighting. I think it's more important the content of the work, not the title.
Yeah,
the title should be with publishing and movies and so like that. All the titles are changed all the time because of copyright issues or because the story's changed over the time.
Yeah, and things don't always translate culturally. Mm. Like things that are called one thing in Australia are not called the same thing in England.
It's like the James Bond films, the early ones, like Dr. No in English is Dr. No. In Japan, I think it was called No Need for Any Doctors.
I love that.
Which is actually...
No medical intervention required, yeah, thank you.
And I think in some instances they used to just call James Bond Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Which is actually kind of accurate.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to delve into your vault of work now.
All right, cool. I've brought a few things. One is, the first one I'm going to read is called Unravel, and that's inspired by a micro fiction competition for Victorian writers. And the deadline's, oh no, the deadline's gone. But yes, so this is what I submitted, and the title was Unravel, but they said you don't have to include that word in the piece. For days, maybe weeks, this bed had been her cocoon. She would cry, sleep, get up, eat, vomit, repeat. Leaving the house meant facing the sad, sympathetic looks of caring friends and neighbours. Their faces told her she looked like a corpse, skeletal and grey. But today was different. Something had shifted. The sun shone through the window, hitting the corner of the dresser in a way she hadn't noticed before. Her stomach and chest relaxed. "Fuck this shit," she said aloud. So she got up, showered, made coffee, and went outside, ready to reconstruct her life and her heart.
I like that. That's great. I love microfiction. I recently, a couple of years ago, got into drabble writing, 100-word short stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's 100 words.
Yeah, and so some places call them microfiction. Other places, in America and England, in competitions, they call them drabbles. And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Especially if you write horror or stuff like that, you can actually just focus on the action. And it's like, to take out all the superfluous words, it's a great tool for poets, actually.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I really liked Twitter when it first came out. Obviously, it has some problems now.
Yes.
But, you know, the having to figure out how to say your message in only 140 characters. I was like, I accept this challenge.
I remember Twitter used to be amazing with it, things like that. People used to think there were several people who did Twitter novels.
Yeah.
And every chapter was 140 characters. That was brilliant. That was so brilliant, but now it's just become a cesspool.
Yeah, and I can't remember there was a Twitter account I followed, and I can't remember what it was called, but during lockdowns they were doing flash, like they'd give you a prompt, and then you all submit, and that was, you know, one of the things that I did in lockdown trying to keep my brain busy.
Well, there's a website called Vocal, I think. That's something like that.
It wasn't that one, but maybe I'll check that one out.
And they often have good prize money, actually. And I've looked at it a couple of times, but I don't think I could ever submit it because it's bad that it's open to wildly to a very broad general public. It's just that my work wouldn't fit it. You've read my work.
Yes.
There's a reason why I don't read my work on air.
I enjoy your work.
Yeah, it's because it's a bit too dark sometimes, a bit too sexual, and a bit well, not in a bad way, but if I was a writer in the 1950s, everything I published would have an obscenity trial, which would be good. It means I'd be making a lot of money because nothing sells a book like an obscenity trial.
Yeah, you'd have to be self-printing and handing it around in alleyways.
Yeah, be like a drug dealer. Hey, I've got the latest coffee.
Yeah, got some poems.
Yeah. Yeah, that used to be a thing in Melbourne, street poetry. One of my lecturers at La Trobe, Rob Blackhurst, was a street poet in Melbourne for a long time. A lot of the poets who are still around the scene used to do it in their 70s and 80s, where they'd make just enough money by selling them on the street to print the next edition.
Just for some spare change.
Yeah, and they used to make little zine.
Yeah, basically,
zines,
isn't it?
But I wish they still did that.
Do it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, zines are still a thing. There was a zine fair the weekend of Pride March, which there are loads of queer nerds that might want to go to a zine fair.
That's what I find really interesting, what we were talking about before about fiction. How there's always been a queer, not underworld, underbelly, just like a queer subgenre in comic books, and it's always been there.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning, especially like I think with young women, especially, they'll see powerful women like Catwoman or Wonder Woman or Supergirl or things like that.
Sexually empowered women.
Yes, because they didn't take crap from anyone, and they dressed the way they wanted to and things like that. It was quite. And you see that with. Although it's kind of funny too, like there's a joke on Family Guy once about like Stewie has a He-Man figurine and a G.I. Joe, and then they start fighting, wrestling, and they start then they start kissing, and he makes the joke. Well, you give your sons homoerotic figurines, and you wonder what happens.
Yeah, well, and there's a classic. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm not the only person who, as a girl, scissored her Barbie dolls. And that's you just worked that out. I didn't know about scissoring.
Well, I wasn't expecting that, so thank you. I'm waiting for the phone to ring now.
You may have to edit that one out.
No, we'll leave that in. It's good, but it's like, well, yeah. I mean, I've heard lots of stories like that in bedposts and things you get.
No, I meant the dolls with each other. Yeah. I didn't scissor my dolls, the dolls with each other.
I went down a very strange tangent. Sorry. I could see that. Sorry. Oh, that was okay. This is going to be an interesting show.
Yeah, we've got to just steer this ship back around, otherwise it's going to go down to a dark
sound place. Effect for a foghorn because we're about to hit an iceberg.
As I said, my come to my shows, you can hear me talk about stuff that we can't say on it.
But you were just telling an interesting story about a friend request you had on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. So last night I had a friend request from a girl who I made out with in high school a few times. And I've reflected on this quite a bit because she's the one. She's probably the first girl I met out with who I wasn't already like friends with. We didn't move in the same social circles, but then we ended up like after we left school, going on holiday together, like in a group, and we shared a room. And so I saw her naked a lot, and she had an amazing body, which of course she hated because we were teenage girls. But she would really encourage me to get naked in front of her too, and be like, "Don't be embarrassed, it's fine." So it was this weird, very. Or I guess sapphic again. Yeah. And then she hooked up with one of the boys on the trip, and she was really trying to convince me to hook up with his best friend. And I knew it was just so that, like, we could, like, she'd be like, "So we can double date." And I knew it was just so that we could make out in front of them, like, under the guise of turning them on. So I did hook up with the friend.
Oh, there's a term for that. What's that term? Is that called has-beenism?
I don't know, I totally let that happen to me.
Well, no, That sadly happens too much.
I wasn't the straight girl. Maybe she, I don't know. Well, I accepted the friend request. So I don't know how her sexuality manifested as she got older. But even at the time would be like, I don't mind if boys or girls or anyone. So I think she was exploiting that maybe.
You never know. But as long as you weren't feeling exploited and you were sort of taking control.
I was there for the ride, so to speak.
And you're doing some work around that as well, I believe, some writing about that.
About the Facebook friend request?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit rough because I just wrote it down before I went to sleep, and I think I'll finesse it and read it another time.
Sure.
But basically the end bit was then she hooked up with one of the boys and really wanted me to hook up with that boy's best friend so that we could like double date. But I knew it's because she wanted to make out with me and pretend it was to titillate the boys. So I did it, obviously.
of how we all fall, we all get sick, get sucked into peer pressure.
Yeah.
even if we're willing.
Yeah.
So I'll learn how to speak and then be fine. Sorry, been a long week at work. Thankfully, I'm not doing call center work anymore, so I'm not talking 8 hours a day anymore,
yeah,
which is good.
That'd be exhausting.
I couldn't function after the, especially with sometimes when you do 12-hour shifts. You want that, and I'm not a nasty person, I don't think, but like sometimes you just dream of having a baseball bat on public transport. You're like, get out of my way.
Yeah, need to have some kind of hat.
Yeah.
That just explains. Like, yeah. It's not you. I've had a bad day. Stay away from me.
Yeah, flashcards at work. Just like, don't talk to me until I've had my second coffee.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go to a quick station break and then we'll do some more delving into your work and some of your comedy. There's a particular piece of yours that I quite like, so hopefully we can hear that again.
Okay,
so,
cool. Is that the one, when you said the parenting poem, I was thinking of that Philip Larkin.
Oh, yeah, that one. That one.
I didn't write that.
That's bad that I forgot that you didn't write that. But the way you perform it is amazing. Philip Larkin, for those who don't know, is a very famous English poet from the 1950s.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.